In the book of Daniel, we see the contrast between the might and the power and the rebellion of man in his natural wisdom and intellect against the things of God. We see the greatest of kingdoms, the most powerful nations, rise up and try to assert their authority. But when they bring that power and that authority down upon those who are gods, those few men, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, these few men who were brought into the king's courts, when that power and that authority is used against these and others of gods in captivity in this kingdom, we see how God's response can brush aside even the most mighty of men. And we see who really rules in this world, who is truly sovereign, whose kingdom is truly great, whose kingdom lasts forever. As Jesus says of those who persecute his people, as much as ye did this to one of these my little ones, ye did it unto me. And in this book we see things done to some of Jesus' little ones, which ultimately were done under him. And we see the mighty response of God in keeping his people in the midst of adversity and in declaring his power and strength unto man, who in the blindness and folly of his natural intellect thought that with all his power he could stand before Almighty God. Well, the greatest of nations and the most powerful of men and the wisest and cleverest in this world, when they shake their fist at Almighty God, he might let them have their way for a time. But in the end, they are but fools who will be crushed underfoot. You cannot fight against God and win, for God is God. God rules over all, and his people, his little ones, are his, and he is jealous for them. Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down the knee and worship the image that he had made, had put a decree out in his land that any who would not worship would be thrown into a fiery furnace. When they did not worship, they were thrown in a fiery furnace. And did that fiery furnace, which slew some of the men that threw those men into it, did that fiery furnace consume these few men, these little ones? No, it did not. There was one like unto the Son of God who was with them in the midst. And when there is one like unto the Son of God in the midst of his people, however few, however weak, however outnumbered, however oppressed, when he walks with his people, they shall never perish. None can put their finger against them and destroy them. They are his and he will keep them to the end. Daniel 2, later in this book, is thrown into a den of lions. Lions, hungry lions. And yet, in the morning, when he was sought, and when his bones were expected to be found in the midst of this den, the lions were tame and had not touched him, because God was with his little one. And God will watch over his people, his own, to the end. No one can touch them. Now in this world, God's people will know their enemies rise up against them, and they will know the great might and the force and the power of these enemies. And these enemies can do much to pull them to pieces. They can do much to harm them. They can say much against them. They can persecute them. They can bring them into physical pain, into emotional pain. All sorts, but in the end they cannot destroy them, because there is one with them, the Son of God, who is jealous for his own. And when the world rises up against these, the world rises up against him. And when the world rises up against the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ has the victory. He is God. He is over all. We see in this book similarities in the initial accounts between Daniel's experience in captivity in this nation and Joseph of old, when Joseph was thrown in the pit and taken down in captivity to Egypt. The king of Egypt there, king of Egypt, Pharaoh, had a dream. And none in Egypt, none of the wise men, could interpret the dream. But there was one in captivity, in the jail, a stranger in a foreign land. Joseph was known to be able to interpret dreams and was called forth, brought before Pharaoh. And because his God was with him, and because his God revealed the dream unto him, Joseph was able to declare unto Pharaoh the meaning of his dream. And as a consequence, because of God's providence, God's hand over Joseph, God's eternal purpose to exalt Joseph and lift him up to a great height of authority in that nation, as a picture and type and figure of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of God's purpose, Joseph was lifted up to great authority. And this led, of course, in time of famine, to his own family being brought to him and gathered with him. Now here in Daniel, we see a similar pattern. The nation of Israel, of Judah, is brought into captivity when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, comes to Jerusalem and besieges it and takes the people captive into Babylon. And out of that people, he seeks some of the wisest young men, the wisest youths, four of which are chosen to serve him in his palace ultimately. Daniel, whose name is changed to be Belteshazzar, Hananiah, whose name is changed to be Shadrach, Mishael, whose name is changed to be Meshach, and Azariah, whose name is changed to be Abednego. These four are prepared. And in their preparation, they are told that they should eat the meat and the drink, the wine that the king provides for them. But they know they're in a foreign land, and they know what this king is. And they won't eat his food and his wine, because they have another king, another God, another Lord whom they serve. So they refuse, and they ask the man set over them if they can eat other food. And he says, but what will happen if you grow up weak? The king will be angry. And effectively they say, trust us, test us. And he allows them to eat this other food, and they grow up more healthy, with a better countenance than those who ate the king's meat and drink, because their God fed them, provided for them, watched over them. And the wisdom of man that says eat of this would in reality have brought them unto death. The wisdom of man that says those who feed on God's word are fools is wrong. For those who love God and his ways and who feed on him and his word are mighty. And these are figures of those who feed on God's word and his gospel. Anyway, they're prepared for his service, and this king Nebuchadnezzar, like Pharaoh of old, dreams a dream. And he's greatly troubled by this dream. And he gathers all the wise men of Babylon, the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to show him both his dream and the meaning. He sets before them an impossible challenge. For he does not come before them and say, I've had this dream, this I saw and that I saw, what does it mean? As Pharaoh of old did. For here the problem set before these wise men is even greater. He doesn't even tell them the dream. He says, I've had this dream, tell me what I dreamt and tell me what it means. You with great wisdom. And they have no answer. They don't know his dream and they don't know the meaning. For all their learning, they're in darkness. And he's furious and sets a decree that all the wise men should be slain. But there's Daniel, like Joseph of old. And he begs that the king should give him time to show him the meaning. So in Daniel and chapter 2 and verse 14 we read, Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Verse 19, Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then was the secret revealed. Yes, like Joseph, here was the secret. Hid from the wise men. Hid from all the wisdom of Babylon. All the wisdom of this world. Of which Babylon is a figure, as Egypt in the book of Exodus was also a figure. The king and all the wise men in this world did not understand that which the king saw. It was hid, a secret. But here comes one, a nothing, a young man, a stranger in a foreign land, unto whom the secret is revealed. Revealed by the God of heaven. Yes, it's a secret. And unless it had been revealed to Daniel, he along with all the wise men of Babylon would have been slain. He faced death if he never came to understand this secret. The importance here for Daniel of having an answer from God to his plea that God should make known unto him the secret. The importance cannot be overstated. The king was not going to wait long. His wrath and his anger was kindled. He wanted an answer. And Daniel's life depended upon knowing the answer. Daniel's life depended upon knowing this secret, which was hid from the wise and the prudent in Babylon, whose wisdom had brought them nowhere, but to the point of a decree from their king that they should be slain. And so too it is in this world today. The wise and the prudent know not God, and by wisdom man knows not God. The wisdom of this world, the intellect, the learning, the theology, the study, the knowledge, the works, the will, the desire, the ambitions, the goals, the loves of this world, the wisdom of this world, as the wisdom of Babylon, will lead you to one place, and that is death. One place. The clock is ticking. But by wisdom, the world knew not God, and by wisdom, you will face death. And the clock was ticking for Daniel, except he knew the secret. The king would slay him. And except you know the revelation of a secret from the God of heaven, your wisdom will slay you. There is a secret. There is a secret to be revealed. And there is a God who reveals such secrets. And our life depends upon that God revealing his secret unto us. Has he revealed his secret unto you? Are you in his secret? Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Because there are deep and secret things which we cannot find out except God opens our eyes. Salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ is naturally speaking a deep and a secret thing. It's closed to us. We cannot discern it. We cannot grasp it. We cannot understand it. It may be preached. It may be sounded. It may be declared in the Word of God. It may be there to be read in any Bible that you may pick up wherever. But yet it's closed. It's a secret, except God takes it and opens it up unto you. All the wisdom of this world will not take the scriptures and reveal Christ in them unto you. You may hear the gospel a million times and never know Christ. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. When was this secret revealed? In the night. in the night. Why? Because all else outside of the revelation of this secret was night. It was darkness. Daniel lived in a world of darkness. We live, as it were, in the night. Outside of the light of God in the face of Jesus Christ, all is darkness. God revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. There's no light but in God and in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Elsewhere, it's all darkness. You are in the night. What do you know of the darkness? Can you feel the darkness? If you go out in the night in a place that's truly dark, not on the city streets where there's street lamps to light it up, not near the towns where there are street lamps and lights, and not under a starry night when the moon is in full shine, which helps provide some light in the darkness. But you go out on a night when the cloud is thick above you, and you're in the midst of the country, and you'll know darkness. And it's so dark you can feel the darkness. Go down into some cave, some dark cave. There's a thickness of darkness. Well, that's what it's like in this world and in your soul by nature. There's darkness, it's night, there's no light. And you can read all the books, you can listen to all the scientists, you can read all the theologians upon the Word of God. And if you have blind eyes, which you have by nature, it's all darkness. Man by wisdom knew not God. There's no light in this world by which you'll discover this secret. No wisdom or learning from men that will teach it to you. You can go to this man or to that man, to that theological school or to that one. You won't learn the things of God from man. God must teach you. God must open the eyes. The secret must be revealed unto you in a vision in the night. And to see a vision in the darkness of the night of this world, your eyes must be open. And for your eyes to be open, for they are blind, God must open them. He must show you. He must open the eyes. He must shine the light in. The eyes must be open to see what the natural sight cannot see. You need eyes of faith. Then was the secret revealed. It was revealed. It was made plain to Daniel, not by sight, natural sight, but by revelation. God took that which was always there and unveiled it. Unveiled it. God took that which had been kept secret since the world had begun. And in the gospel, as it were, he opened it up. He took off the covers and revealed the mystery unto Daniel. And that's what he does with his gospel. As Paul says, the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, which according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, reveals and makes known Christ and his salvation. The secret is revealed. Now, what do you know of God's secret? What do you know of his gospel and his Son? If you know anything truly of Christ, it's because God has taken him and his word and his gospel and revealed him unto you in a vision in the darkness of the night of this world in which you live. And if God hasn't done that, if what you see and what you know is what you've grasped with your own intellect and wisdom, even from the Word of God, if it's all with your mentality, all with your intellect, no matter what you may say of Jesus Christ, no matter what you may say of his death, no matter what you may say of justification or righteousness, if all your knowledge is just grasped with your own intellect, then along with the wisdom of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, it will lead you to death. There's no secret made known unto you. There's no revelation. And you may turn again and say unto me, but if I know of Jesus Christ, and I know of his electing grace, and I know of his substitutional death, and I know of his resurrection, and I know of his reign, and I know of his sovereignty. If I know those things, and I've read preachers declare those things, and if I can speak of those things, surely God showed me. I answer, not always. You can know that in the letter and not know God and his secret. And I know men who have talked of these things in the letter, who have fought and argued for them, who've gone astray because the secret was never revealed unto them in a night vision. Faith is not a mental assent to facts regarding Jesus Christ. Saving faith is a reality of life within the soul that only God can breathe in. Saving faith is a real experience of feeling the darkness and feeling the death and feeling the corruption within and crying out unto a God who's made known and revealed unto you in the gospel. Crying out unto a name which was once secret to you, which God makes known by his Spirit, the name of Jesus Christ, the sovereign God, God's Son. Crying out unto him to take his blood which he shed for sinners and to wash and cleanse you in that blood. To take his blood and to sprinkle it upon your heart within. To make his life known. Saving faith is the life of God breathed within. And all those who come to know Christ and his gospel, all those who believe he died for them and know he died for them and for whom he truly did die, will come to know his love for them in a reality and a depth which is hid from all others. Because they won't just know it as facts on paper. They won't just know that Christ died for sinners of which they believe they are one. But they will know him because his life is within them. Because when the Spirit quickens them to life, he enters into them. And God dwells within them. Christ dwells within them by his Spirit. They have a hope, not an external hope, not simply an external hope, not simply that they believe that 2,000 years ago Christ died as a substitute for sinners, that my account was blotted out, that my sins were taken away, but they have a hope which has entered into them. God has entered into them. There is life where there was death. There is light in the heart where there was once darkness. They know that they are God's because God is in them. Now that is to have a secret revealed unto you in a night vision. And unless you can speak of a feeling awareness, of a conscious awareness and experience that God has taken the blood that Christ shed upon the cross and sprinkled it upon your heart, that your conscience is appeased, that you are at peace with God. Unless you can speak of God being in you as a reality and of you being in Christ, of that union, and know that it's not just your mind laying hold on these things, but it's real, then you do not know the secret. And there are many who profess these things, who argue and debate about these things, whose hope is entirely external with a mental assent. And they have never seen. They have wisdom, great wisdom, great wisdom upon the scriptures, but they've never seen. They have never had the secret revealed within. Well, if you have, there'll be a response like Daniel's. Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, not mine. There's no wisdom and might in me. I'm nothing. I may see and know this secret. I may be able to look at those who look so wise and great and say they're fools. It's like this, not like that. But this is not my wisdom. I know that I was a fool as they were. I know I was as blind and dark as they were. And I know that God has shown me. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding, unto the truly wise and the truly understanding. He giveth that wisdom and that knowledge. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him, only with him. He is my light. He has shown me. In him I see. Outside of him I'm blind. I thank thee, Daniel says. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who have given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel bowed down and worshipped. And that's what happens when God makes his gospel and his grace known unto you. You won't stand up with some proud notion or some proud attitude that you have something that others haven't got. You won't lord it over others. You won't go out condemning others as though you're greater and better and have made some decision that they haven't made or done something right that they haven't done. But you'll bow down and worship the God that's chosen you, full of humility before him, knowing you're nothing. You'll know that he has made it known. You'll know how great he is and how low and worthless you are. Just as others, you're just as bad as others, and yet God by grace has made himself known unto you. He's revealed his secret. Have you been there? Have you been there? That's what happened when Daniel was shown this. But although these things were revealed to Daniel, and although Daniel went to the king Nebuchadnezzar later in chapter 2 and made known unto him the meaning of the dream, and although the king could see the wonderful insight given to Daniel by his God, and although the king acknowledged that Daniel's God was a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, the king didn't yet bow down to that God. because he heard what Daniel said in the letter. Daniel made known the dream, and he made known the meaning. He, as it were, went to this king and declared the gospel in truth and in power. He spake with the authority of Almighty God, who had shown him these things. He said unto this evil king, "This is God's word." And that king had to acknowledge the truth of it. And yet that king went forth and made him an image of gold, which he commanded the nation to bow down and worship an idol. He heard the gospel from Daniel's lips and knew not God, because it's a secret that God must reveal. God revealed it to Daniel. Daniel went forth with those truths, that revelation, and preached it in word. But you can hear the word from the best of preachers, like this king heard from Daniel, and not know the secret. No. This king made this image. He put out this decree, as he had done with these wise men. He said, if you don't bow down and worship, then I'll throw you in a fiery furnace. And that's just what happened with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They would not bow down to this idol. And the king was forced to throw them in the furnace. Now in these actions of this king, who is the ruler of Babylon, the ruler of this world, presented to us here as a picture of the prince of the darkness of this world, the devil. When you don't worship man's father, the devil, the father of those who love not God, when you don't bow down and worship the one that others worship, this is what men do to you. They'll throw you, as it were, into a furnace. When you stand up and speak of Christ and will not bow down to the idolatry that all around you bow down to, when you won't go with them, when you won't go to the same excess of riot that the world around you do, when you won't bow down to their ideals and their thinking, to their equality, to their ideals in this world, to their ideals of tolerance, which reject Jesus Christ and accept all manner of sin and filth in this world, when you won't bow down to their wisdom and their ways, and ultimately to their father, the father of lies, the devil, when you won't follow, they'll take you and throw you, as it were, into a furnace. But this king, the prince of the darkness of the air, the prince of this world, when the adversary sets to slay God's people, what he sees in the midst of the furnace in which they walk is one like the Son of God walking with them. No matter what this world says or does to you, when you declare the secret of God's gospel in Jesus Christ, when you stand for the grace of God which brings salvation, when you speak of Jesus Christ and do not bow the knee to this world and its ways and its idols, when they seek to put you to death, they will see in the midst of God's people, however few you be, one like the Son of God walking beside you. And then they know that your God is the true and the living God, the revealer of secrets. Daniel had this secret revealed to him. But you can tell people this secret in words and they're still blind. They're still blind. Well, finally, what of the secret a little bit? What is this secret? Daniel made it known to the king. He told him of this vision which he had. The king saw a vision of a great man a great image with a head of gold, arms of silver, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron and feet of clay. Daniel makes known the vision that this is his kingdom, he, the great king in this world, that head of gold. And there will be other kingdoms which follow, silver, brass, iron, clay, all great kingdoms, but all ultimately brought to nothing, because there is a kingdom greater than the greatest kingdom in this world. And that is God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, in which the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the revealer of secrets, the discerner of the thoughts and intentions of man's heart, the one who rules over every kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon included, this world today and every kingdom and nation within it included, America and Britain, wherever it be, the one who rules will bring all these things to nothing. And will establish, has established, does establish a kingdom which lasts forever. As Daniel says to him, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. There's a kingdom coming, Nebuchadnezzar, which is greater than all and which you cannot destroy. You can take of its citizens, you can take the little ones in its midst, and you can throw them in the furnace or throw them to the lions, and you'll never destroy them, because there is a king who walks beside them, the Son of God. The Son of God. A king and a lord who loved them and gave himself for them. For he came into this world to save everyone who's in his kingdom, to take their rebellion and their darkness and their wisdom away, their sin, and blot it out by shedding his blood. He died that they should live. He rose again from the dead with them to live forevermore. A kingdom with a great king. As Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To the world, this kingdom and this place in which the Son of God abides is a secret place which they cannot find or discern. And yet all these children, all these washed by blood, dwell in a secret place, the secret place of the Most High. And they abide under the shadow of the Almighty, who rules over all and watches over all. Oh, what a secret to know. This secret of the gospel makes known the promise of redemption. The redemption of all those citizens of this kingdom, those whom Christ died for. He redeemed them. He set them free. He delivered them. He delivered them. We read something in type and figure of this redemption in Judges and chapter 13, where Manoah and his wife meet an angel of the Lord, a picture of Christ, and they see what this angel does in the sacrifice where he offers up himself for his own. Judges 13:15 tells us, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went upward toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? This name of this angel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sacrifice who was offered up upon the fire, the offering which ascended up unto God as a sweet-smelling savour, the one who did wondrously as his people looked on, he has a name which is secret, hidden from the world, the power of which is hidden from the world. That name, which if you call upon, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you cannot call upon a name if that name is a secret unto you. That name must be made known, it must be revealed, and it's revealed in the gospel. But it must be revealed unto faith. God must open your ears and your eyes to see and to know who this one is. This Saviour, this Redeemer, this sacrifice, this priest. This one whose name is secret. Oh, has God taken of the things of Jesus Christ and revealed him unto you? Or are you still stumbling about with your own learning and your own wisdom and your own ideas of who Jesus Christ is and your own ideas of what he did upon the cross? Or have you fallen on your face having seen what he did, seen that he did wondrously take away the sins of his people and make them to be the righteousness of God? Have you seen that by faith, or are you still looking on by wisdom with your own intellect, fumbling about in darkness? Are you like Nebuchadnezzar, hearing a preacher tell you the truth and then going off to make your own idols, which you bow down and worship? Or has God made his secret known unto you in a night vision? And has he taken the name of his Son, whose name is secret, and revealed him unto you as he truly is, and shown what he did for you upon the cross? And have you seen that he did wondrously? And have you bowed upon the knee before him? Have you? Has he revealed his secret unto you in a night vision? Now to him that is of power, Paul says, to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Amen.